Well, in prayer today, I love following the journey of Lent, and there's this power of humility that touches the heart of God. The Lord says in the responsorial psalm, as we sing it today, you know, that's response is in, and it's a psalm. I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice. The cry of God is that he wants, I want love. And God is such a loving father. And what does he want from his children? Love. And love itself, Jesus talks to us through the Gospel of Luke. And we read there in the 18th chapter of Luke, a story of Jesus spoke this parable, and he addressed it to those who believed in themselves and their own self-righteousness and held everyone else in contempt. Two men went up the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, with head unbowed, prayed in this fashion, I give you thanks, O God, that I am not like the rest of men, grasping, crooked, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on all I own. The other man bowed his head and kept his distance from even daring to raise his eyes. All he kept saying, beating his breast, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Believe me, this man went home from the temple a righteous man. The other did not. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself shall be exalted. I really believe, Chris and my brothers and sisters, as we talk about prayer, and especially our posture in prayer. I don't know what you do when you pray. I mean, there's no posture that is of itself pleasing to God. You can kneel in God's presence. You can stand and pray. You can walk and pray. Whatever it might be. But it's the real, that I think what our Lord is getting at is the inner attitude, the arrogance of the Pharisee as he stood, and the I-centeredness of his prayer. What was God in relationship to himself? I am so happy, I'm not like the rest of men. And the ego, the egocentricity, the I pay taxes on all I owe. I give tithes. I am not like the rest of men, adulterous or whatever judgment he was making, or like this tax collector. I believe that as you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, search your prayer, what is your inner self saying to God when you pray? Are you aware of God looking at you? Or is it what you are saying and doing before God? The simple question, what is more important, what God wants to give you or what you want to give God? In the psalm it says, I desire, God says, steadfast love, not sacrifice. What is there you have, my brother and sister, that you can give God? You are, I am, nothing. Our very being is created by God. Everything we have comes from God. the most important thing we can say, if we are truly aware of the first word that we could say to God, is thank you. Because God is saying to us, I love you. How? By giving us our very being, by sustaining us. We wouldn't even be a puff of smoke. Smoke is something, but of ourselves, we're nothing. And so in prayer, when we come to pray, the one who exalts himself is a great big blowhard. The one who humbles himself, like the tax collector, and he wouldn't raise his eyes so that his inner self was before God, who was gazing at his misery and whatever sins had been weighing him down. And so now he's crying to God, and his bent over posture, not even looking up to heaven, his bending low in himself. So even if you're sitting down, you can be in your inner self humbled. He who humbles himself and cries out to God, have mercy on me, O God, a sinner. God, forgive me my sins. This man goes home justified, our Lord says. As we go to Mass, especially you who are Catholic, I can address this too. And I ask you, what is your inner self when we pray at Mass? Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Are you before the Father asking for mercy? Or are those just words of a ritual? Are you aware of your sinfulness before God? Or do you think this is just something you're singing and boasting of your goodness? When is the last time in prayer you experienced an inner awareness in humility? Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Every Mass we hear this cry. Lord, have mercy. In fact, we begin the Eucharistic celebration with a penitential rite. It's a powerful time that I invite you into as you pray in humility and prayer. Lord, forgive me my sins. What a great and wonderful experience it will be as you come into God's presence as his children. Today is a marvelous teaching for us. Jesus, whom we receive in the Eucharist and whom we celebrate, especially during Lent, Jesus died in jail. So humble was our Master. The execution and capital punishment of his day was crucifixion. He was brought into trial, judged a criminal, and was crucified. He was crucified with other prisoners. There were thieves on his left and his right. What was the humility of Jesus? The one to whom we pray as you take your crucifix and bless yourself in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is Jesus, the one who was crucified. Lent, the 3 days of Lent, Thursday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. These three central acts, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ, take place in jail, and his death. He was executed as a prisoner. What is the humility? I'm going to spend, which is really every chance I get, but especially Holy Week, I love to spend in prison. When I go to prison, I hear confessions. The humility and the beauty of the prisoners. Did you ever think of yourself as you go and have the lines of confession that when you go, have you seen yourself as a sinner coming to be redeemed by Jesus Christ as you prepare for your Lenten confession. In these days, what are those sins? This was the cry of the tax collector. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And so the Trinity, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, have mercy on me, for I am a sinful woman. I am a sinful man. What a great and marvelous experience that is, because that's the truth. If you are unaware of your misery and your sinfulness, oh, no, you know, I don't do this, and I'm not like others. We're in the posture of that Pharisee. And I really believe that many of us at this particular stage of Lent, and that's why this gospel is here, because we are so and can become, and it's easy to become puffed up with our own goodness, our own self-righteousness. No, I don't do that much bad. And that's my attitude. And I'm not like those murderers. I'm not like those criminals. Yeah, you go to jail, but they're really bad people. I'm not bad. No, I'm good. And I'm better than them. That self-righteousness, that self-exaltation, and you're going to spend this Lent, and that's what Jesus is bringing out, who interpenetrates all our hearts. No, I am a sinful man, O Lord. Every person who exalts himself is going to be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself shall be exalted. Monsignor Lin is a priest who's at the prison now, and he's there. He's from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and I'm going to be celebrating. I've been meeting with him, and he's given me permission to talk about this. I said, you know, this is a marvelous example. That he said, Father, you tell anyone what I'm telling you now. This was a aside from his witness is, I never knew how much God loved me until I came to prison. The awareness. Now, he is humble. He's been humiliated when he goes from his priest garment to a prison garment. What I think all of us should do is think of ourselves in prison garb. In Pennsylvania here, we have on prisoners, we put on the back of their prison garb, DOC. Department of Corrections. Every one of us during Lent is in the Department of Corrections. And God, in the light of his mercy, in the light of his love, is shining and interpenetrating our hearts. And all of us, bishops, priests, people, Catholics, Protestants, all of us are sinners before God. And we can cry out, and especially those who are Christians, that the triune God, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. The beauty and the goodness of hearing and being forgiven by God. I really believe that there's so much to be learned here that I just hope and pray that this lesson that Jesus gives us, that I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice. What is there that you can give God? Nothing. None of us have anything to give God. And when we come before him, especially at this stage of Lent, what Jesus is saying and teaching us is, come with your sins, give me your misery, and I will extend to you mercy. The word misericordia, which is the Latin word for mercy, means God have a heart, a core, the cordia. I have a heart for misery. That's exactly what mercy is. the greater your misery, the greater my love for you. The greater your awareness of sin, the deeper will be your cry for mercy. And so, as we now approach Lent, this is a great and wonderful posture. Have mercy on me, O God, a sinner.
Monsignor?
Yes.
If God loves us for who we are and not necessarily for what we do or do for him, you know how we want to do things, but he loves us for who we are, and that's what he wants us to give to him, then what are, for those who are in ministry or those who do works of charity and all that, how is that balanced?
When you are seen by God, what God sees in you, and this is strictly for those who are Christians now, because it's a powerful answer. What he's seeing in you is Jesus. As a baptized person, the power and the grace you have comes from Christ who's in you. He is the source and the font of the love. Not only the Father, because the Father made all of mankind, every human being has the power of God in them, because God made them. God made all the Hindus. And so if you're a Hindu from India, God is in you. How? He created you. He's sustaining you. You have your gods. It's not Jesus, but the Son of God is for us Christians, the one who came down from heaven and into me through baptism. You minister, maybe you're a Eucharistic minister in your parish, maybe you're a lector, maybe you're someone who's in the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and you've been caring for the sick and the suffering for years. Your goodness is Jesus in you. It's nothing that you have done. The only thing that you can do of yourself is to tend towards sin. The one who is your virtue, the one who is your life, is Christ. He is the only Savior. If it hadn't been for Jesus, all of the prophets, you know, couldn't Isaiah say, Lord, I did something good? No. He is a sinner. And Isaiah stands before God and was waiting for Jesus to die on the cross. All of the prophets that came before him, John the Baptist, needed Jesus because he was conceived in sin. Only Jesus could save Joseph, the husband of Mary. Only Jesus. Jesus is the only Savior. So I hope we get this teaching straight. It's been the teaching all during of Lent. What happens on Easter Saturday? Baptism. The remission of our sins is one thing, but the life of Jesus is poured into the Christian through baptism. So what was poured into you at your baptism was Christ. You and Christ are one. With the exception of, and each one of us has it, our sinfulness. Every single person has this tendency. Now, what God is looking at and loving in you is his Son. That's how dear you are to God. But the power that you have to go away from God is still in you, that sinful tendency, that every one of us have temptation and we fall. And if you say you didn't fall, St. James says, anyone who says he's not a sinner is a liar. You're a liar. If you look at your heart, if that Pharisee looked at his heart, he's a liar. He has, before God, sins which he has not confessed. He just stood up before God and didn't go home righteous. The tax collector who recognized his sin went home and received righteousness because he received the mercy of God. And that's the teaching, the particular teaching of today for Lent. Is that answer to your question?
Mm-hmm. It does. Any final thoughts, Monsignor?
Keep in mind that Jesus Christ has died for us and is risen from the dead. He is our saving Lord. He is joy for all ages. If we endure with the Lord, we shall reign with the Lord. Keep in mind that Jesus Christ has died for us and is risen from the dead. He is our saving Lord. He is joy for all ages. In Him all our sorrow, in Him all our joy. Keep in mind that Jesus Christ has died for us and is risen from the dead. He is our saving Lord. He is joy for all ages.
Thank you so much, Monsignor.
God bless you. Have a wonderful day.